control. I like the way to dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball, but Mr. Curtis flow.
With us right now is one of the top NBA players to ever wear the uniform, and Hall of Famer, and a seven-time All-Pro, and a man who is trying to help us all learn in a different way, too. Welcome to PNPNetwork.com, Jerry Lucas. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Mark. Nice to be with you today.
Nice to talk to you. I've seen you play many times. I'm just wondering, you know, right off the bat, some of the memories you might have of Boston and the Boston Garden.
Well, not all of them are good. Of course, it was wonderful playing against the Celtics. You know, I had the opportunity to play against their great teams for many years when they were winning all those championships with Russell and Havlicek and all of that group. Of course, John Bing, my roommate at Ohio State, that was kind of special for me. But during those years, obviously, there weren't many fond memories as far as winning is concerned. But later on, when I played with the Knicks, we did have some success against the Celtics. As a matter of fact, I think I recall one game in the seventh game there in Boston we won, which was the first time the Celtics had ever lost a seventh game at the Boston Garden. So that's kind of a fond memory of mine.
That was kind of the beginning of the Knicks rivalry with the Celtics as well.
Well, it was. We had some great series, a tremendous rivalry, and there were some really exciting games, and I remember those very fondly.
It's kind of painful for Boston fans now to watch the Celtics as they are currently as compared to the great teams we've had in the past.
Well, unfortunately, you know, teams seem to go through cycles, and the Celtics obviously are in a down cycle now. They've been playing a little bit later, a little bit better of late, but they're not the same caliber they were in the past, and for the great heritage that the Celtics fans have had, they certainly don't enjoy what's going on now, I'm sure.
No, it's kind of a bummer. But, you know, you look at the Lakers who never really went down that much. They rebuilt very quickly.
Well, when you get some key people, you know, you have a dominating player like Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant comes in. You know, he's a tremendous young talent, and they get, you know, the players around them that complement them well, and they've had tremendous success. And, of course, bringing Phil Jackson in, who, you know, has a reputation of being a great coach. Of course, there's another one of my roommates of the past. I roomed with Phil when we were at the New York Knicks, and he is certainly a tremendous coach and is able to handle the psyches of different players and understand them and relate to them well.
Hmm. What do you think about the salaries nowadays? I assume that when you played, you still made a good living, but not like the crazy salaries of sports today.
Well, it really is unbelievable. I was the number one draft choice in the NBA, the very first pick the year I came out of Ohio State, and my salary was $30,000. You know, and today most of these players might make $30 million with endorsements and everything else that they do. So it is totally unbelievable to me to think that an athlete can be paid, you know, more than $1 million a month to play a game that he loves is just overwhelming. And you know, when I came into the league, there were players making $7,500 a year, and you know, we all had to have jobs in the off season because we didn't make enough money to sustain ourselves. And certainly now, in all of the sports, that's dramatically different.
Yeah. I'm just thinking back to the times when you came out of Ohio State. Jerry Lucas, my guest today, was the first player, and I believe still the only one ever, to win the Big Ten Player of the Year award three straight years. So when you came out from college, I mean, they expected you to make an immediate impact. Was there a lot of pressure on you as a young kid to come into the NBA and be a star and be a successful player?
Well, you know, I didn't feel a lot of pressure. I suppose there was probably some great expectations, and I felt more of it going into college than I did actually coming into the professional ranks, because there was so much expected of me there at Ohio State. But fortunately, I made the adjustment fairly well, and the biggest adjustment for me coming into the professional ranks was changing positions. I had always been a center my entire career through grade school, high school, junior high, college, and so playing with my back to the basket. So making that transition was the most difficult thing for me. And fortunately, in those games, in this respect, we played, I think, 22 exhibition games that year. And we used to play a lot of exhibition games. And it gave me the opportunity to get almost a half a year's of experience, you know, from an NBA standpoint. And as a result, when the season started, I felt like I could compete in that position fairly well.
Did the team bring anybody in to help you adjust to the new position?
Well, not anybody specifically, just my own teammates. And, you know, Jack McMahon was our coach then. And, you know, Jack Twyman, who had been a great forward in the league for a long time, helped me and showed me certain things. My first six exhibition games were against the St. Louis Hawks, and I played against one of the greatest players who have ever played, and Bob Pettit. And I realized very quickly that I had a lot to learn from that position because he made a monkey out of me. In those particular games, and so I worked hard and devoted myself to it, and by the time the season started, I was ready, and as a matter of fact, we opened the season against the Hawks in St. Louis, and I had a very successful game and felt comfortable at that time.
Now, it's interesting that you played a while ago. Obviously, you made the Hall of Fame in 1979, which must have been an incredible experience for you. What was that like, being in the Hall of Fame?
Well, obviously, that's the ultimate, that's the ultimate of any athlete, to be elected as one of the great players of all time in their particular sport, and it was certainly a thrill for me. There's no doubt about that. And another thing that was exciting for me is I went into that particular class. I went in with Oscar Robertson and Jerry West, who at that point, no doubt, were the two greatest guards who had ever played the game of basketball, and they were my teammates in the Olympics in 1960, and so it was a great deal of satisfaction for me to be in that particular class as well.
You know, it's interesting for people like myself who are in our 40s. Obviously, we've seen you play. We remember you clearly, and you were one of the better players we've ever seen play. But my son, who's 9, who plays youth basketball, has a book that has all the top 50 NBA players of all time, and you're in it. We do little mock drafts in the house, and you're always among the drafts. He's never seen you play, but he knows what you've done because of all the press that's been out, which must be kind of nice for you in terms of a kind of a whole new generation, plus the Classic Sports Network airing some of the games. People get a chance to see what you've done.
Well, that's true, and there are a lot of young people today who not only know some of the players from another era. One of the things that they do, many of them collect cards, and as a result, they read your statistics, they understand a little bit about you. And that, in a sense, you know, lets you be a little bit more known to a younger generation. And the Classic Sports Network on April the 24th this year, coming up soon, by the way, is doing an hour's program on me that they've been working on for over a year. So that'll probably let some of the younger people know a little bit more about me. And not only me, but, you know, so many other players that they profile on a regular basis.
Well, that's great. April 24th on ESPN Classics Network. Check that out. You can see the
And I think it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, and I guess you'd have to check your local listings if you're interested. But it, those kind of things certainly help the younger generation know a little bit more about players who played at a time when they didn't have the opportunity to see them.
Now, talking about the younger generation and about learning, that's what a great segue I just made. You I guess when you were a youngster, used to play kind of puzzle games and mental games with yourself, and you've been working for years and trying to find something that's easy and fun and long-lasting, a learning process for the kids and for adults as well. And I know that you wrote a book called The Memory Book, which was a huge bestseller on the New York Times for a long, long time. And I have here in front of me two books called Picture Perfect Spanish, another one, Learning How to Learn. You got the nickname Dr. Memory. Tell us a little bit about how this metamorphosized and what it's about.
Well, it started as a boy. I had an incredibly active mind, invented all sorts of mental games to keep my mind occupied. And when I got to school and realized that learning was not fun at all by repetition, that's the only thing I knew to do because we weren't taught really how to learn other than going over material to try to learn it. And nobody's ever liked that, and neither did I. And I thought to myself, there's got to be an easier way to learn than repetition, and so I began to experiment. And to make, and I'll tell you how it works in a moment, to make a very long story short, through the years as I developed and worked, and I created what is known as the Lucas Learning System, which began to make learning so simple and easy for me. And it was based on a principle that I discovered when I began to think about ways to improve learning. I realized that as children, prior to going to school, none of us ever have a problem learning because we are learning as our parents point to and identify tangible objects. Everything that we learn prior to going to school, we see. It's something that has an identity. They'll point out a chair, a table, a cat, a dog, and tell us what it is. And every time we understand the identity of any object, an image or picture of that object is automatically and more importantly, permanently registered in our mind, never to be forgotten, because every time we think of it again, an image of that object appears in our mind automatically. For instance, if I say to you, please do not see a zebra in your mind, whatever you do, do not see a zebra, you have to see a zebra. I mean, that's the way the mind works.
Right.
And I realized in school that all the intangible letters, numbers, words, and symbols that I was being called upon to learn did not register in my mind. They had no tangible identity. And when I thought of them, I saw nothing. There was nothing to come back to. So my thought was to try to change the intangible information to make it tangible, and I began to find ways to do that with anything. And let me give you a little example of a state and a capital of all the many hundreds of thousands of things that I've developed in the 65 books that I've published. When my children were young, I changed everything and made it tangible. Arkansas and Little Rock are just words, but to make them tangible so my children can learn them easily and never forget them, I had an artist draw a picture of an ark like Noah's Ark. And the ark had human characteristics. It had arms and legs. It was standing up. There was a can in front of it, and it was holding a saw. So they could see the ark, the can, and a saw, or an Arkansas. And since the capital was Little Rock, the can was being used as a holding place so the ark could saw a Little Rock in half. So all of a sudden, these words that had never had a tangible identity prior to this took on their own tangible identity. And every time my children now thought of an Arkansas, they saw this arc using the can to saw a Little Rock in half in their mind, and they automatically, without problem, knew that the capital of Arkansas was Little Rock because they could see it. So I do that with everything. I create all the artwork for everybody. My children learn Spanish and grammar and times tables and how to read and write and everything that way, and it's remarkable. And those millions of people who have had the opportunity to read my books have just been amazed how easy it is, and my website is just causing... people are having so much fun, and they're discovering that learning is hundreds of times easier than they ever thought possible.
And I know we're going to put a link to your site on our website, but it is drmemory.com. That's Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R, memory.com.
And, you know, people who might be interested in improving the learning ability of their children for states and capitals and presidents or grammar or the times tables or Spanish or anything, go to that site. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll see that learning is easier than you ever dreamed possible, and you see how you, your family, or anybody who wants to learn can discover ways to make it simple and easy and get the material right from the website and change your life forever.
It is nice to speak to an athlete who also has it together off the court as well. It's so important for people out there, especially the kids that are listening, to make sure they have a good educational background behind them when they go into athletics.
Well, you know, Mark, the goal of my life, I've been riding towards it for the last 27 years, is to start my own school, and I plan to do that within 2 years. I've been writing curricula for everything that needs to be learned. You know, my son, for instance, learned the entire periodic table in chemistry in less than an hour. It's hard for people to believe that, but it's so easy when you make it tangible, and you don't have to look at, you know, just letters and numbers and words on a page, but something you can see and register in your mind easily. And in the school that I'll start, and of course the purpose is to share the material with other schools, there'll never need be a need for homework because children will learn everything just as easily as they learned a cat or a dog or a horse by seeing it, and it's remarkable. It changes thinking. People can't believe how easy learning is, and that's why it's so satisfying to me, and all the return emails and everything I get from people being on my website and using the products is just a gratifying experience for me. It's going to be far more gratifying in the future when children who have never been able to learn, children who get left behind today, will not get left behind in the future because they'll learn easily. Every child in America knows what a dog is or a cat is or a bear or a tree because they've seen it. And every child can store pictures in their mind, and in the future they'll tangibly see everything they need to learn, and it'll never be a problem for them. And there are hundreds of thousands of schools today that are using my individual books. The teachers take them in and use them with tremendous success.
You know, you mentioned starting a school, and of course, with the great possibilities of the Internet, you could actually start an international school right at your website.
Well, that's something that probably will be done in the future as well, once all the material is used. And the thing that I want to do, Mark, more than anything else, is just have my own prototypical school so that, you know, we can prove how simple and easy it is. And it's fun to, you know, your children learn more. It's a known fact that, we as people learn more the first 5 years of our life than we do the rest of our life. And it's very, I mean, when you think about it, it's obvious why, because everything we're learning, we're seeing. We learn the environment about us. We're living in a tangible world where everything we're learning we can see and never forget. And all of a sudden, when we go to school, we leave this tangible world and enter an intangible world where everything we're trying to learn has no identity. You know, I know what a tree is, I know what a bear is, I know what a tiger is, I know what a lion is, but have you ever seen the 23 uses of a hyphen anyplace? No, no. They're intangible. So what I do is I change all those intangibles and make them tangible so you can see them, and then it's easy. And that's why, you know, I just love what I do and love to help people, and that's why the Dr. Memory website has been so successful and so much fun for people, because it changes their whole perspective and they realize that learning is not the boring, dull process that they've always thought it to be.
It's an interesting concept, and I really enjoyed the book Learning How to Learn. I was showing it to my kids, and I think that everybody out there who's interested can go right to drmemory.com, and you can order the books there as well, and check out the whole scene. And again, if you want to check out stuff about Jerry's career, on April 24th, ESPN Classic Sports will be having at 8 o'clock or so a special on Jerry Lucas. Make sure you check your local paper that day and make sure it's on at that point in your market. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jerry, and I want to wish you a lot of luck in the future with everything.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I enjoyed talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.